Amen. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke. Luke, chapter number 16. I know that a lot of folk here, no doubt, got problems and feel hurt about what I just got the news there about what's going on. But yet I still believe this is what the Lord has us to preach from tonight. I know sometimes we need comfort and all of that. We do need that, but yet God's got a message. His message is the time. Luke chapter 16 tonight. And Luke 16, verse number 19. I'm sure this is a very familiar passage of Scripture to both yourself and myself also. Luke 16, 19. The Bible said there was a rich man, a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Let's bow to pray. I want you to ask the Lord to help us tonight. It seems like since I've walked up here, the devil's trying to attack my mind. Our Father, in Jesus' name tonight, we bow before you. God, plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Pray, God, that you'd touch us, our Father, in the meeting. God, that you'd break in, our Lord, on the service tonight. I pray the power of God, our Father, would be on the service. I pray, God, the Spirit of God would walk up and down. God, convict hearts. God, draw people to you tonight. I pray, dear God, the light of God would come on tonight, God, in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and our Father, that we'd be made to hear from you tonight. We love you and bless you, God, for loving us, and thank you for all you've done. God, for what you're going to do, please, God, have your way tonight, we pray. God, if someone, Lord, would be sitting here, dear God, in Jesus' name, our Father that's lost without God, I pray, dear Lord, the Spirit of God will open them up tonight. God would shine the light deep in their soul and mind. God, help them to see themselves as they really are. And God, to come tonight and get saved while there's time. Then, Lord, stir every heart and bless those that need help. Bless Phil this week, I pray. Dear God, for all you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Some days back, I was leaving one morning from Hardee's, and I'd been there to get a biscuit early in the morning, and about daylight, and I was leaving there, and oftentimes, I guess maybe it comes to your mind, and my mind, it comes oftentimes, well, just what's people doing in heaven? Do you ever think about such a thought as that? Maybe try to make up your mind what mothers and daddies and grandmas, grandpas, and the old preacher men, people that you've known down the way, what they're doing in heaven. That day it wasn't that thought. I started to leave Hardee's that morning. It comes so deeply in my heart. I wonder what people's doing in hell. Man, I got thinking about that. I got thinking about my granddaddy, my daddy's daddy. He'd preach a year or two, lay drop 2 or 3 years, about the time before I was born. He'd lay drop a year or two, and preach a year or two, and father illegitimate children, go back and preach a year or two. And then had a heart attack in the log woods in 1962. I was less than 5 years old, less than 4 years old. He came in. My grandma told me she was a good Christian woman. She said he laid down on the couch and laid there a few minutes and said my grandmother's name was Elizabeth. They called her Lizzie. He said, come here a minute, Lizzie, and sit down and talk to me. The rescue squad was on the way. He said, come here and sit down and talk to me a minute. She sat down there and said he looked at her and said, Lizzie, what did the Bible say about adultery? She said, the Bible said that those that commit adultery will not inherit the kingdom of God. And adulterers have their part in the lake of fire. Lizzie, I think I'm going to hell. And then just laid back and went out in eternity. Wonder what my granddaddy's doing in hell tonight. 1976, July the 3rd, my granddaddy on my mother's side went out and bought some old rock gut liquor for the 4th of July. Got drunk and laid down in an old field and we couldn't find him. Laid there in that sun shining on him, set up gangrene in his stomach. Doctors, when we found him, doctors said he'll live 48 hours, live 47, passed away and went to hell without God. I wonder what my other grandpa's doing in hell. In 1971, my double first cousin, my mother's sister, married my dad's brother. He and I looked almost alike. We looked almost like twins. Their oldest boy come in from the military in the Army, 18-year-old. Got an old Maverick, had an old 1971 Maverick. Started across a mountain towards Sneedville, Tennessee. Went up on the mountain, hit a rock wall, got killed, cut his hand off, bled to death in minutes, went to hell. I wonder what my first cousin's doing in hell tonight. I'm just coasting out a minute. Here I started preaching. My dad's other sister, his boy was mean and wicked up in Tazewell, Tennessee, up out of Knoxville. And went to a beer joint called the Rocky Top. He was bad to peddle marijuana and drank liquor and fight. And he'd been in and out of the beer joint time and time again in trouble. And that guy that owned Rocky Top told him, said, R.D., if you ever come back in here again, I'll kill you. You don't ever come back in here. R.D., a few months later, went back in there, come toward the bar. And the man told him, said, R.D., I told you don't ever come back in here, I'll kill you. R.D. come on up toward him, had a knife in his back pocket, probably would have knifed him. The man reached under the bar, under the counter of the bar, pulled out a double barrel shotgun. But R.D. had told you, now don't come no closer, I'll kill you. R.D. come closer and he opened both barrels up. I took him up and buried him on an old tree up there in Tazewell, Tennessee. He died and went to hell. I wonder what R.D.'s doing in hell tonight. I don't know why I'm telling all this. Year before my wife and I got married, we'll be married 32 years next week. 32 years this week. I visited a young boy I went to school with. He was 2 years older than I was. I went to visit him one night, burdened for his soul. Had been preaching about 1.5 years. And I went to burden for him, went to his house, tried to tell him about the Lord, and he didn't want nothing to do with it. Want nothing to do with God whatsoever. On Saturday night, I was pastoring a little old church before I got married. On Saturday night, before we went to church, my wife, we weren't married then, but we was courting, and we went to church, and that Saturday night, and got in the middle, right in the middle of the wreck, a bad wreck, and people, hundreds of people standing in the road, went on to church, got word a little bit later that it was Rick, that boy I'd seen on Tuesday night, and it happened on Saturday, and he went to the hospital and said he was doing good, and thought he was going to pull out of it, and 2 o'clock in the morning, he set up, and cussed God, and let out a big oath, and then they said from that moment, he just laid down and began to slowly progress backwards, and he died and went to hell. I wonder what Rick's doing in hell tonight. I want to preach tonight on why would anybody want to go to hell. Why would anybody want to go to hell? Why would anybody want to go to hell? I ain't gotten to my text yet. Might not get there. I don't know. But one of the saddest stories I've ever seen, heard, or told that happened. I was preaching on the radio. Been on the radio for over 30 years. And some years back up in a place called St. Charles, Virginia, in a little old coal mining town, a woman called me one day and said, "Is this Preacher Mullins?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is." And she told me who she was. And she said, "I'm a blind woman." And she said, "I don't know no preachers. I don't know nobody." She said, "I'm way back up here in the mountains." And she said, "I hear your radio broadcast, and you're the only preacher that I thought I might be able to call." She said, "My boy was up here in the mountains. Said he's a drunk. And said he's up here in the mountains. Back in an old coal mine, trying to dig him out enough coal with his hands out of cell to get him some liquor, and said the coal mines caved in on him. Said he drug himself out of the mountain and come through my yard, and said he got in the house and he died. And said, 'Preacher, I need somebody to preach his funeral. Would you come preach my boy's funeral?' I went, Brother Ronnie, and she told me where she was. Had to borrow a four-wheel drive to get way back in the mountains." And I got back there and I knocked on the door, and she came to the door, an old time screen door there. And I knocked on the door, and she come to the door and kind of peeped through the door, and I told her who it was. And she said, "Preacher, I ain't even got a way to get over to the funeral home. Would you take me over there?" And I got her out there and took her over there. And funeral was the next day, and I said, "I'll come back and get you." Listen to this. We come through, I got to a garden gate and got her, and she's holding my arm as we go back through that little garden gate, and she stopped and she looked up kind of at my face where she knew my face was, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "is my boy in hell?" Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, what a hard thing to tell a blind woman. She said, "Preacher, is my boy in hell?" I said, "Honey, was your boy saved?" She said, "No, preacher, he never was saved." She said, "Preacher, is my boy in hell?" I said, "Honey, if your boy wasn't saved, he's in hell tonight." I'll never forget her words. We took 3 or 4 more steps. She stopped again. She looked back up and she said, "Preacher, would you pray that God let my boy out of hell?" Why would anybody want to go to hell? I ain't preaching too much right now, but why would anybody want to go to hell? Why would anybody want to go to hell? Oh, 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 oh. In 17 years, we buried 15 of my family as a direct result of alcohol. All 15 of them went to hell. Whatever you do in your life, don't go to hell. Whatever you do with the breath God put in your body, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Whatever you do, hell's real. It's more than a cuss word. It's a real place. God said it was. I believe what the Bible said. I don't care how many people said there ain't no hell. There is a hell to that. God said there was. God said He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Let me just junk all of this tonight and come right to what I wanted to say quickly. Give you four reasons why you ought to not want to go to hell. There's the endless sufferings. The endless sufferings that are in hell. The fire of hell. The fire that is never, ever, ever quenched. The fire that never dies. Eternal, endless sufferings in the lake of fire, in brimstone, forever and ever, and ever and ever and ever. I had a cousin several years back, been 15, 18 years ago now. She had a big fireplace in their house. She had sugar real bad. And she sugar got up and she was messing in that fireplace with some wood, and her sugar got up and she passed out. And she fell in the fire. She died. Lay in the hospital for weeks. You go from here to the end of the building. They couldn't get her knocked out of her coma. They couldn't get her knocked out. She lay there and moaned, groaned with pain. All they had was a sheet draped up over where nobody could see her nakedness, and they had her whole body consumed in Vaseline, an inch thick. She died. I wonder what they're doing in hell tonight. I wonder if that's the sufferings of hell tonight. The endless sufferings of the fire that's never quenched down in the underworld, where the lake of fire is burning tonight, and it'll never stop burning upon the souls of men and women that died without God. The endless sufferings of the fires of hell. The screams. I've tried to imagine. You know, brother Henry Owens. Henry Owens, several years back, a preacher friend of ours, went up in a tree stand one morning, early in the morning, before daylight, climbing up in a tree stand to deer hunt. He bought him a new stand, and just as he got up in it and turned around to sit down in the stand broke. He come about 20 feet, 25 feet, he said he was up, and fell and busted his back. A lot of complications to this day. Over it's been 20 plus years. He said he lay there all day and screamed for somebody to come to him and help him. He said when dark set in, he said, I began to scream more loud. Somebody come to me. Nobody came. About midnight they found him after he'd been there from about 4 or 5 in the morning. I wonder when they've been screaming in hell. I've got two grandpas. One of them been there since 1962. One since 1976. I've got cousins and family there. I wonder if the screams. You ever been in a funeral home where people screamed over somebody that had died suddenly? And friend, I'm telling you tonight, it must be an awful thing to hear the moans and the groans and the sufferings in an eternal hell. The fire of hell, the foreverness of hell. The foreverness of it. The foreverness of it. Would you stop and try to just think about that a minute? I've been some nights that felt like this 40 nights long. I didn't think daylight would ever come. preacher friend of mine's in missions work now. He pastored North Carolina for years. He told me a few years back, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I remember a time in Vietnam." He said, "The enemy had us pinned down. We were pinned down for 5 days before any help come." He said, "I remember praying when night would set in." He said, "I remember praying, 'Oh God, will daylight ever come?'" He said, "When daylight would come, the fire would get worse. And I'd pray, 'Oh God, will nightfall ever come?'" He said, "For 5 days I'd pray for day. And of a day I'd pray for night." He said, "I was pinned down." He said, "But finally help come. Oh, to be in hell. No help will ever come." Cain's been in hell 6,000 years. Screaming in the fires of an eternal hell forever and ever and ever and ever. The foreverness of hell. The endless sufferings. The favors you had on the earth. The opportunities. The chances. The privileges. Every church, every community's got 4 or 5 churches right in it. Preachers in the community. Access to a Bible. Access to God. Every way we turn around. I can't imagine. I'm telling you the truth. I tried my best to imagine sitting in my room a while ago. I tried to imagine what it would be like to open your eyes in a world of darkness, burning in a fire. Trying to save the center of the earth is probably at least 9,000 degrees hot. There you are forever in the fires of hell and no hope come. And you had every opportunity in the world to get saved and did not get saved. Some years back, a man at our church said, it's a long story, I won't go into it. He never has got saved himself, I don't reckon. He come to our church a little bit and didn't get saved. His grandpa later on was dying with cancer. And he said, "Preacher, would you go see my grandpa?" Lived in Boone. I said, over toward Boone, not Harlan Boone. I said, "Yeah, I'll go see him." I went to see him, and it was in July, and it's hot outside. And he had a little single-wide trailer, and they had him a little bed set up beside of a window where he could open the window and get him a little air blowing in that through that window on his bed. I began to talk to him. I said, "Mr. Cornett," and I told him who it was. I said, your grandson asked me to come see you." And we talked a while about his sickness. And I asked him, I said, "Mr. Cornett, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Are you ready to meet God?" He said, "I don't know, preacher. I don't know." I said, "Mr. Cornett, let me ask you another question. What do you know about God? Give me some idea where I can know to start trying to how to help you. What do you know about God?" He said, "Preacher, I don't know a whole lot." He said, "But can I tell you how it is?" I said, "Tell me." He said, "When I was a little boy, all I ever remember is my mother taking me to church." He said, "I got about 17, been to church all my life. I got about 17, and I just strayed away." He said, "Preacher, I meant to come back." He said, "I really did. I don't know how many times, Miss Willie," he said this to me. That day, he said, "I meant to come back. I really did." He said, "But I went through my 20s and I got married. 30s, trying to make a living from a family and raising my children. 40s, 50s. He said, "Now, preacher, I'm 70, I believe he said 72 year old. And he said, "I don't know where I stand with God." He said, "But preacher, I really meant to come back. I really meant to go back to church." He said, "But the years have got away. Now I'm dying. I don't know where I'm saved or not." I'd try to talk to him. It's like talking to that wall. He couldn't get it. God turned the lights out in his mind. He had flaunted the day of grace. He had spurned the mercy of God, said no to the grace of God, turned his back on God. I couldn't make heads to him, the tails out of him. He died 3 days later. Not even, I don't know where he's at. You better not sit on a church bench, laugh and mock and snigger and spit your bubble gums and blow in the face of God, friend. We're talking about the eternal souls of humanity that are going to hell without God. The foreverness of it. The fires that's in it. All of the favors God's bestowed on you. You imagine, listen to me tonight. Could you imagine going to hell from Mineral Park Baptist Church pew? What an awful thing it would be to have a man of God like you, God, that loves you. Preacher, I asked myself this question while I go in the room. I stepped over to a mirror. Looked at myself in a mirror until I couldn't look at myself no more. And I asked myself this question. I wonder if anybody's in hell that ever heard me preach. Oh, man. Did I preach with conviction? Did I preach with compassion? Did I make the plan of salvation clear? Did I tell them in no unequivocal terms that Jesus saves and they're lost? Is there anybody in hell tonight that heard me preach? I wonder if anybody's in hell that once sat on the pews. Mineral Park Baptist Church. Something to think about. Why would anybody go to hell when you think about the sufferings? The sufferings, the everlasting sufferings, the endless sufferings that will be going on hell. So stay with me a minute. Not only the fires that suffer, the foreverness that will cause suffering, the favors that will cause suffering, but what about the faces that will be down there in hell? You mentioned a while ago D-Day. A friend of mine told me that was there. He told me this across a meal one day we was eating when I ran a business back home right Lowe's. He looked across the table at me. Big tears filled his eyes. And he's talking about when they invaded that day. He said, I had a brother somewhere that day on the other side of the island that was fighting. He sat there, preacher, big tears rolled out his eyes. And he said, all I could think about that day was, are they killing my brother on the other side of the island? He said, all I could think about, somebody will kill my brother today. I wonder what it's like for a mama that's in hell that knows she's got a daughter there somewhere. A daddy that says, my boy's here somewhere. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. A wife or a husband that says, I've got a husband here somewhere. A brother that says, somewhere down here in hell, I've got a brother suffering. Why would anybody want to go to hell? I'm telling you, friend, just a few more days, everybody in this building is going to know for an absolute, total certainty where you're going to spend eternity. It ain't going to be, I wonder, I hope. You're going to know at an absolute certainty where you're going. The endless sufferings of hell. The eternal separation from hell. In hell. separated from the grace of God forever and ever and ever. No mercy ever be granted. Not one drop of water. Dip your finger and tip your finger in the water. Cool my tongue. He didn't want a glass full. Just a simple drop. No mercy's ever given in hell. No mercy. No mercy. No grace. Eternally separated from the grace of God. Eternally separated from the glory of God. Jesus said, John 17, Father, I would that those thou givest me would be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory that I had with thee before the world was. They'll miss the glory of God. They'll never get to see Jesus crowned. Oh man, I'm longing for that wonderful day. And all the crowns of all the heads of God's entire family, pull the crowns off, cast them at His feet, and it's coronation day. It's the day we see His glory. It's the day we see who He is. And they don't get to see the glory of God. They don't get to see the wonder. And the, listen, don't think maybe I'm crazy right here. I wonder about this in my mind. He said that they may behold my glory that I had with thee before the world was. I wonder. When 9-1-1, when the towers fell a few days later, they showed on film the building of those towers. I watched some of that building process of those towers. They had it on film. I wonder, Brother Kevin, I wonder if God may let us go back in that day, in God's way, back before the time started. Let us see the glory that the Son had with the Father. I wonder if God might let us watch somehow when nothing was, absolutely nothing, and Jesus spoke the worlds into existence. Wow. See the moon, the sun, the stars, the planets, all of a sudden, the glory, how He made them. I wonder if He may let us see the children of Israel walk across the Red Sea. Maybe let us see Jesus down Calvary. Maybe let us stand by and watch in a prelude, getting ready to crown the King. And in a prelude, watch as He comes alive at the graveyard and see His glory. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I wouldn't miss it for the world. They said, tonight I'll give you everything on the face of God's earth and everything it's worth. I'd say, just keep it. I'm going to see Him one day crown the King. I'm going to see Him crown my Savior, Lord of all, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. You'll be separated from the glory of God and the grace of God forever. You'll never enjoy the glory of God. I know it's got on here, no doubt in my mind, many times when the glory of God come. People was weeping and shouting and praising God. Oh, it's just a foretaste of His glory. You wait, thank God, till we get there in a glorified body. The Lamb of God steps forth. Amen. With scar, with wounds in His hands and His feet. Amen. We recognize from where He brought us from. We see the hole of the pit He digged us out of. We'll fall at His feet and we'll worship Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We'll be in the glory of God forever. You'll miss that if you go to hell. You'll miss that if you go to hell. The eternal or the endless sufferings of hell. Why would anybody want to go to hell when they talk about the eternal separation from God? Why would anybody want to go to hell when I think about the effectual salvation of the Lord? He died to save the world. He died to save the world. Boy, isn't that a wonderful thought. I'm glad it was in that little bitty, and that great big world was a little bitty nobody one day. Just lost without God going to hell. One day He came to where I was. Could we stop a minute and go back there? Preacher, how long has it been now since God saved you? How long? 37 years. You raised a Christian home, wasn't you? I wasn't. All I ever remember is Daddy beating Mama, drinking liquor, fighting and cussing. That's all I ever remember. But one day an old preacher by the name of Harry Bacon came in a little old place I was hauling building supply materials and said, we're having revival down there at that little church. Just building a little old church. All they had was a basement started. Didn't have no building up at all. This little basement started. We're having revival night. We had a little preacher down there called Calvin Queen. So won't you come down? I said, I don't know. Next day he come back in, met me out in the backyard at the building supply and put his arm around me and said, I love you. Won't you come down? I'll try to come. I took a load of mortar down there that night. Calvin was laying the brick. I took a load of mortar down there that night and kind of liked Calvin, kind of struck a note. I liked him. I'll be able to go. I went and heard him. Didn't get saved. A few weeks later, they had a meeting, had J.D. Hogan, Roy Goodson, and Dr. James Rainwater. Brother Rainwater preached that night on the Paschal Lamb. Brother Rainwater was once pastor of this church, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I was here 3 years ago in revival. Was it 3 years ago, I think? I hadn't seen Dr. Rainwater since that night. I got under conviction by him preaching on the Paschal Lamb. I'd told all over the country that I got under conviction under preaching Dr. James Rainwater. But I had never seen him since. I walked through that door back there. Speaking, people shaking hands, and somebody reached out their hand and said, I'm James Rainwater. I hyperventilated. I couldn't talk. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Been 3-4 years ago, whatever it's been. he said, sir, son, you all right? I said, I'll tell you in a minute. I'll tell you in a minute. I said, I'm so glad I got to see you. You preached me under conviction right at 30 years ago. He said, where was this at, son? And I said, it was in Jonesville, Virginia. Bible Baptist Church, Brother Harry Bacon was pastoring. I said, you remember? He said, I remember it well. He said, I can tell you what I preached on that night. I said, what did you preach on? He said, I preached on the Paschal Lamb. I said, that's what you preached on. I said, how did you remember it? He said, I'll tell you how I remembered it. He said, the devil never did fight me as hard as he fought me that night. He said, I walked away, thought it was the biggest flop I'd ever made. I said, that was the meeting. I got under conviction on it. Boy, I'm glad one day he must pass through my Samaria. I'm glad one day he come down my road. Amen. Let me thank God, cut me loose and save my soul. You don't have to go to hell. There is a salvation tonight. It's more than a word. It's a real thing. God can save you. God can redeem you and justify and sanctify you. It's more than a word. God actually saved you from something. If there's no hell, why'd God send His Son from heaven to suffer, bleed, and die on an old rugged cross? I tell you, God come to save you from hell. When I think of the effectual salvation of God, I wonder why anybody wants to go to hell. Lastly, and I'm done. When I think of the eternal sweetness of heaven, I ask myself, why would anybody want to go to hell? Heaven, happy home above. Heaven, full of peace and love. Heaven, oh, it makes me feel like traveling home. I believe there's a heaven tonight. An old sister up home, church where I met my wife, she was a shouter, buddy, she was a shouter. I went through high school, that lady hated me. I was meaner than the devil. She knew it, and she'd get me in trouble every time she turned around. I hated her, and she didn't like me. I got out of high school, got saved, came back one day into the church to preach a revival for them before I ever got married. That's where I met my little wife. She got up and she'd shout, she said, "Whoopee! If God can save that boy, he can save anybody."
Yes, sir.
She become a dear friend. Some years later, she was laying in a hospital bed. Tubes are running in her nose. Tubes are running in her mouth, dying. Every little once in a while, she'd rear up on the bed. She'd say, "Whoo!" Doctor came in and said, "Sister Mrs. Lamb," said, "you better lay down, you're going to hurt yourself." She said, "Hurt myself." She said, "I'm going to heaven just in a few minutes now." Doctor said, "Mrs. Lamb, can we get you anything?" She said, "Whoo! Just get me some more of the love of God." Gave up the ghost. And went to heaven. I believe one day I'm going to walk in. I'm going to hear somebody over here on the corner. I'm going to recognize that little old whoo. I'm going to say, "That's Miss Laura Lamb over there. She's still shouting." Why would you want to go to hell? Jesus loves you. You've got to quit playing church and get born again.
Right.
You'll go to hell if you don't.
Right.
I close with this. 2 years ago at the house, there's an old Presbyterian church. It's about 8 miles from our church. I guess a little less than that, probably 6 miles from our church. Oldest church in our community, old Glade Presbyterian Church. Had an old elder there. And was there for years and years and years, was a deacon of the church 42 years. Lay dying with cancer a couple of years ago. An old man out of our church, an old preacher out of our church, went to see him. Began to talk to him. He asked that old man, he said, "Are you ready to die?" That old man just said, "I don't know. I don't know." He said, "But you've been a deacon over at the old Glade Presbyterian Church for 42 years. He said, "You know, in all them years, it was just church." He said, "I don't think I'd ever really stop and thought that maybe I'd go to hell." He said, "I don't know." Preacher said he tried to talk to him but couldn't make no sense out of him. Said, he said, "I've just been there all these years. Never had to stop and thought about it." My wife went to church for years before she got saved. That preacher, I told you, come invited me to church. My wife went to a Methodist church before she got saved. Brother Harry got saved, got born again, went back to that Methodist church, got burdened for souls. Standing there one Sunday, them singing out a songbook. It's going to church as usual. Brother Harry just turned around and said, "Dorothy, are you saved? Dorothy, are you saved?" Dorothy said, "To that moment, I never thought about it. I thought just going to church was enough." She said, "I got under conviction. I left the Methodist church and went to a Baptist church. And I heard how Jesus loved me. And I got born again." Are you saved? Ma'am, are you saved? Are you saved, sir? Are you saved, John? Are you saved, young man? Are you saved, sir? Are you saved, sir? Do you know beyond any shadow of any doubt? A few weeks back, I was preaching on a move of God at our church. Not the same message preached last night, but that message last night, those three terms come out of that message. We had a boy sit right there. He plays bass every service at our church. I'm the only pastor he's ever known. He's 19 years old. I've been there 23 years. Last while, he just sat dead for the last 4 or 5 years, and I'm done. I got to preach another day, and I said, Cody, you need a move of God, son. I've been watching you. You're dead in the hammer. He said it made him mad. His daddy runs a PA system. His mother plays the piano. He said it made him mad. He said, I went straight that evening and told my daddy, I'm not coming back. I'm done. He made me mad. There's been other teenagers in this church and left it, and I'm still here, and he ain't preaching on them. He's preaching on me. He said, I ain't coming back no more. He said, on Sunday evening, it got so heavy, though, I had to come back, and he come on back. I went in revival over North Carolina. I come home the following Sunday and give invitation. Here Cody come running to the altar. He said, preacher, it wasn't until you called me by name that it become personal. He said, I got to thinking through the week, maybe I do need a move of God.
Yes, sir. Yes.
He said, I got to laying on my bed thinking at night. I said, I don't know if I've ever had a move of God. He said, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I don't even know if I even know God. I don't know if I even know God. He said, do you call me by name? Made me mad. It made me see that I didn't even know God. And he got saved.
Amen.
Oh, I'm glad tonight.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad tonight. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a Savior.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a Savior. Yes, Bethlehem, Calvary. Yes. All of it, Dale. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Amen. Yes.
Mountains and plains. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is there. Yes, He's a wonderful Savior. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Why would anybody want to go to hell? People sit on a church bench and go to hell. Sure as their name's what it is.
Yeah.
Playing church. Going through the routine. Fooling everybody. Miss Willie, come. Many years back, I was in Brother Sammy Allen's tabernacle down there. And his song leader stood up, and this is what he said. He said, I've led singing for Sammy Allen for 4 years. He said, everybody thought I saved. He said, Brother Allen thought I saved. He said, last Sunday, down at the church, I'd known for a long time I was lost. He said, last Sunday down at the church, this has been several years back. He said, I went to my preacher and told him, said, Brother Allen, I'm lost. And I'm going to hell. He said, I got saved. He said, if I'd have died, he said, Brother Allen would have preached me straight into heaven. And I'd have been burning in hell.
Yes, sir.
Is anybody like that here tonight? You looked way down deep inside. You're just as empty as an old hull of a ball. You know God living down in there. No God down in there. Say, so how can I know if He's down in there? He'll lead you, guide you, speak to you, convict you, trouble you, lead you down the path of righteousness.
Yes. That's what He does.
Help you to love Him, love one another. I think John chapter number 8, a chapter of the Bible, needs to be preached often. Jesus said, if you were of God, you'd love me. You'd love me.
Amen.
Are you saved tonight? Would you stake eternity if you had to die before daylight? My stepdaddy died last July, a year ago this past July. I was in revival near him about a year before that, and he'd made a little professional faith several years back. He went down to Nashville and had a six-way bypass. Six-way bypass, Vanderbilt. I got burdened for him. I come out from my mom and them's house. I stand at their house, and I come out in the bedroom door, and asked them to go to church with me that night, and they said, "Nah, we ain't going." I looked at my stepdaddy, and I said, "I want to ask you a question. So if you have to face God by daylight, what are you going to tell Him?" He just looked at me and dropped his head. I said, "Look up at me. You look up at me. I'm not going to move. You give me some kind of answer. What are you going to tell Him?" He finally looked up and said, "I have no idea what I'd say." I said, "Are you saved?" "I don't know." A year later, he called me at the house one Saturday night at 10 o'clock and said, "Glenn just had a bad stroke. I'm almost 3 hours away. I fly home, get there. Doctor said there's nothing can do, just a matter of about a week. It'll expire in about a week." And he did. My sisters cried and screamed the night that they told him he's going to die, and now he's blind and he can't see and all this stuff. And I told my sisters, I said, "Let me tell you something. I've been trying to witness this family for 25, 30 years. Y'all been getting mad at me every time I mention it.
Yeah.
Now you're screaming and crying that he's dying.
Yeah.
You ought to have been thinking about this years ago.
Yeah.
Don't wait till they're laying dead to cry and scream.
Yeah.
You better cry and scream tonight and try to get them out of hell before they get there."
Yeah.
Let's stand and bow to pray.